peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We are on peace. You can be seated. Peace. Peace. A state of tranquility or quiet. Freedom from civil disturbance. How many people like to be in a peaceful place? No disturbance. It's funny because those places are hard to find sometimes. God's called me to be a witness, and sometimes at work, I'm away from everybody a lot. And I'll see one of them coming up there. I'm like, oh, man, don't come up here. I don't say it to them. I say it to me. And they'll come up and they'll say, it's time to torment the operator. And I'm like, hey, buddy, what's going on? And in the midst of that, I got a preacher's kid there, Sam, that I'm witnessing to. And I'm praying that God will use me to lead him back to the Lord. Because I say this a lot, we can be what somebody's praying for. He really looks up to his dad, and he tells me his dad is a really good man. And he says he's a legit Christian. And here's how he says it. He said, like you and Ellis. Because he's worked with both of us. He said, like you and Ellis, he said, he's a legit Christian. And no doubt he's came across some people that professed but didn't possess. And that's what we're talking about here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's a result of being born again. So if we're born again, these attributes should be revealed in us. It's a battle sometimes. We all know that because we all have flesh. Wouldn't you love if that scripture said, we have this treasure in an awesome vessel? But it doesn't, does it? It says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And man, we got to fight our flesh to let this show through. But because the Spirit is there, we have these attributes. And I want to talk about peace because a state of tranquility, freedom from civil disturbance, that's not really the kind of peace that we're talking about. Because as Christians, we're in war. And we're going to be at war until the day we die. And so we're never going to be free from civil disturbance because there's a devil. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming after you that he may devour you. So we're in a war. So there's never going to be that moment where you can sit down and say, hey, I'm not in a battle. So it's not that kind of peace because we're in a battle. Amen? And the Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Look at the person beside you and say, get violent. Now, I'm not talking about to the cashier at Walmart. And I'm not talking about to your waiter or waitress. I'm talking about with the devil. The Bible says that he would put enmity between her seed and Satan. That's hatred. Guarantee you the devil hates you. Do you hate him? Do you hate him? Because there should be a hatred toward him. Job was a man that loved righteousness. He loved good and he eschewed evil. Just as much as we should love righteousness, we should hate evil. Amen? All right, so I want to show you a painting here in a second. Shane, did you find it? Did you get it? You don't have to throw it up there yet. Hold on 1 second. I want to explain this painting to you first. Never mind. Man, you just messed up my whole sermon. Let's go home. All right, so there was a competition. And these, you know how these stories are? These stories change, and the picture changes. And I have found this story several different ways. So I'm just giving you one of the different stories. But basically, there was an art museum, and they decided to have a competition. And the competition was this: paint the most peaceful painting you could paint. Several of the stories that I read said there was a $10 million prize. One or two said it was 1,000. So I'm not really sure how much this guy got paid for this. But people entered in their paintings, and the paintings were phenomenal. I mean, little rivers just so clear that you could see the moon reflect. And it just looked like, man, I would like to be there right in that spot. Have you ever seen a painting like that? It was like, man, I would like to be right there right now. And when you see the picture, you forget that there are mosquitoes near the water. no matter where the water's at, you're like standing there. This is wonderful. It drives you nuts. But when you look at the painting, you think, man, if I could just be right there, man, that would be great. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, so if it was you, whatever, but they texted me and said, I cannot wait until this vacation. I can't wait to get out there and get on this vacation. Why do we want to go on vacation? To get away from it all, right? How many people have went on vacation to a place and said, man, I'd like to live here? How many people have moved to the beach 100 times in your life? Man, I think I'm going to move down here. Let me tell you why you want to move down there. Because you're on vacation and you're not working. Listen, I do not want to live at the beach. Who wants to work there? It's hot. You know, I mean, who would want to be? It's very, very tough place to be. But while you're on vacation and you're in this place of separation and no responsibility, man, it's a good place to be. So they painted the painting, and the competition came. All the paintings that they went through. Let me show you the winner. This picture is the winner. Wham! Can everybody make this out? This picture won. Now, this guy got paid either 1,000 or 10 million. I'm not really sure. Regardless, this is the painting that won the most peaceful. Can you make it? Why would that be the most peaceful painting? What is it? Okay. What is it? You see this guy right here? He almost didn't win until they really looked at the detail of his face. We can't see it here, but I'll tell you what the detail is. The detail is, in that picture, this man is smiling. In the middle of the storm, he is smiling. That's the kind of peace that I'm talking about. Because here's what happens. We want to get to a place to give us peace. And we think that if we're there, if it would feel good to our senses, that would give us peace. You could be in the most tranquil place imaginable. You could be in the middle of the most quiet, and your mind not shut off. And there's nothing peaceful about it. Have you ever been there? Tracy's told me, and on this show, that there has been times as we have age together, there's been times when she has looked at me and said, will you just take the kids and go somewhere? I'd like to be alone. And I'm like, why do I gotta suffer? I'm kidding, kids. I love you. There's that moment when, but you know what's crazy? You could get in that place alone and still not have peace. But we try to find peace on the outside. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but he said, my peace. His peace is different than the world peace. Why is his peace different? Because the world tries to work peace from the outside in. The world tries to make it to your senses and make you feel good on the outside, so then that works inward to you. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Let me tell you what kind of peace Jesus gives us. He gives us this kind of peace. When everything around us is in turmoil, we can still have peace. We can still lay down and sleep even though the storm is raging. That's what kind of Savior that we serve. He gives us that kind of peace. And this is the kind of peace that comes through the Spirit. I looked up peace in the and the Strong's, and it says, of Christianity, the state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. Did you hear that? It's a state of the soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Paul said, I have learned, no matter what state that I'm in, to be there content, to be content in that state. How could he do that? Because he understood. Listen, I don't care where you live. I don't care what you drive. I don't care what you attain in this life. If you don't have Christ, there's no peace in this life. But if you got peace, it doesn't matter what your earthly lot is. You can stand and sing, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I know my lot don't look good on the outside, but this peace doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Now I'm going to show you a scripture. Darren, I'm so glad you're here, and this is trichotomy all the way, but you'll get it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace, watch this. It's very interesting the way Paul does this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. Completely. Right? And I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he calls him the God of peace, and he said the God of peace sanctifies you wholly. Now, here's where we get mixed up. We get mixed up when we blend salvation and sanctification. We've got people that are saved and are being sanctified, and we look at them, and they're on a different level than we are, or a different place in their walk, or a different, however you want to put it. And when you look at them, it's easy to judge people and say they're not saved. Listen, I want to get this burden off your back. That's not your job. Your job is to never decide who's saved and who isn't saved. That's not on you. That belongs to another. And there'll come a day that he'll separate the tares from the wheat. Amen? So just don't even put that. Now listen, if God shows you or you realize they are lost, witness to them. Witness to them. Any questions? Because that's his deal. But here's what happens. He says, "The God of peace sanctify you wholly." Eddie, you said something years ago. And it made sense when you said it, but it makes more sense now. A whole lot more sense to me now. He said there's a difference between having the peace with God and having the peace of God. He said there's a difference. There's a difference between having peace with God and the peace of God. But you can't have the peace of God unless you have peace with God. I don't have this in my notes, but we need to go there. Romans chapter 5. And I know we're going to get this in Sunday school, but you're going to get a prelude to Romans chapter 5 right now, real quick. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What do we have? Peace. With who? Peace with God. Peace with God. Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is peace with God, which means, I'll just quote this, for when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, right? We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. When we were enemies, there was no peace treaty. We were enemies. We were actively fighting against God. Man, I'm telling you, I have fought against spirits before. Amen? Because we don't fight against flesh and blood. Are you hearing me? We don't fight against flesh and blood.
I had a group of young people coming to young, they were coming to youth group, and I'm witnessing to them, and I'm trying every way I can to get the word of God in, and I'm volunteering to go down there and spend my time and do all this with them, and I'm just hoping I'd see a little bit of hope, and I'd see glimpses of hope, and I'd see this happen and that happen. And there was another guy that had the same group actively fighting against me, trying to get him to do all sorts of evil things. And I was so aggravated at him. I was like, God, save him or take him out. I didn't pray that, but I thought it. I'm trying to get the word of God in him. There's another guy that's got him, and he's trying to get him drunk. These kids were underage. I was aggravated. I really had to pray. And you know what? I got a spirit against him. You ever done that? Until I realize I'm not fighting against flesh and blood here. There is a spirit that I am fighting against. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against, this is spiritual. It's all spiritual. My peace is spiritual. My warfare is spiritual. The problem is we're trying to get peace through the flesh, but you don't get it through flesh and blood. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. When we're enemies of God, let me find that verse for me, Shane. I think, try 8, 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Can I teach y'all something real quick? No, okay, let me just go back to my sermon. Watch it. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What does that mean? Have you ever read this? If we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, are we not saved? But he says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Much more than being reconciled to God. Here's the problem. We got a world and we got a church world that wants to get people to an altar. And we want to preach the death of Jesus. But what we must also preach is that's not the end of it all. Jesus is still alive. He's still living. So we're reconciled by the death of his son, but much more we shall be saved by his life. This is talking about sanctification. We're saved by the death of Jesus, but because he lives in us, he's doing a work in us, and we don't just have peace with God. We got the peace of God, and that's a work of the Spirit. Are you following me? He said, the God of peace sanctify you wholly. The God of peace does that. Sanctifies you wholly. Notice the order. Go back to that scripture if you would. First Thessalonians. Watch the order. The order is important here. I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. Blameless. I'm praying your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. The problem is we're trying to get it through the body. It doesn't come through the body. The body gets blessed as a result of the soul. The soul gets blessed as a result of the spirit. Are you with me? Here's the problem. Every one of us are born messed up souls. Every one of us, our soul, our emotions, our personalities. See, listen, the Spirit of God is perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, it's perfect. The Spirit of God is perfect. It is perfect. Your soul is not. Your emotions are not. Your personality, it's why your personality changes. How many people in here have a perfect personality? How many people have more than one personality? And how many have no personality at all? You know why your personality changes? Because it's imperfect. But the soul is being saved. The spirit is perfect. So let me say it like this. If you got the Holy Ghost living in you, you're saved. Let me make that clear. If you've got the Holy Ghost living in you, you are saved. Don't ever let the devil lie to you. Don't ever let him try to tell you you're not saved, you're not good enough, you ain't good enough. But what you have in you is good enough. You know how he knows you? He knows you by the Spirit. You know when he comes back, how he's going to know you? He's going to know you by the Spirit. He said, without my Spirit, you are none of mine. But if you've got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, you are saved as you ever will be. You will never be any more saved than you are right now. And you ought to clap your hands and say, I'm saved, and the devil is a liar. The devil's a liar. You know who else is a liar? You are. You lie to yourself. Look at you. Look at me. Not me. Yeah, you do. Your heart is deceitful. And it is desperately wicked. Your heart has a problem. Your soul has a problem. How many people here beat, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you beat yourself up over your walk with Jesus? How many times have you ever wondered this? Man, I wonder when I stand before him that day. Do I have enough? Do I have enough? Do you have him? Because if you have him, you have enough. If you've been washed in the blood, that's enough. That's how he knows you. Now, here's the problem. Everybody wants to stop right there. And this is why we got people running around in the church trying to find peace. The reason they're trying to find peace is because they're not yielding to the Spirit. Because what happens is the soul, your personality, your emotions, your will, your mind has its own thing sometimes. And don't tell me it don't. It's why we sin. The reason we sin is the Spirit says no, the flesh says yes, and we're in the middle and we decide. Listen, if you sin, you do it because you want to. You don't get to say, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did it. And sometimes the devil ain't even nowhere to be found. It's all on you. Man, hey, get him, preacher. I think I will. I'm getting me too. But here you are. He wants to give you peace in your soul. The God of peace wants to sanctify you wholly. How do you do that? I'll tell you how you do that. You got to start agreeing with the Spirit, not the flesh. Oh, let me say. Let me try it again. What was it? Faith, finances, and what was the other one? Family. Faith, finances, and family. Anybody having issues in those areas? Look around here. Let me tell you what. Here's what happens. The flesh says one thing. And you get to decide whose report you're going to believe. And you know what's crazy? Sometimes it's facts that you get. Sometimes it's facts. But the truth will always trump the facts. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What did he create first? The heaven. Then he created the earth. You know what that means? The heavenly law supersedes the earthly law. Do you want me to prove it to you? There is a hypothetical law called gravity. It's what's holding us here, they say. It's why we're not floating away. But let me tell you what's going to happen. The Bible says that one day the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to, and they're going to meet him in the, how they do that. I'm going to tell you why. Because the fact is, we're held here by something. When the truth is, the heavenly law supersedes the earthly law. So when the trumpet sounds, the earthly law loses its effect and the heavenly law kicks in. What I'm here to tell you today is, you don't have to wait till the trumpet sounds to agree with the heavenly law. You don't have to wait until we get to heaven to have heaven on earth. What you got to do is make up your mind, I'm going to choose this side and not that side. You may be busted and disgusted and can't be trusted, but that's the facts. But the truth is, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches. The facts is, the doctor can look at you and say it's terminal. That may be the facts, but the truth is, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was on him. With his stripes, I'm healed. Let me tell you where that decision takes place. In your soul. The spirit is, but the, so which way are you going to go? Whose report will you believe? So here's what the flesh does. And let me tell you where the enemy works. He works through the flesh. He works through the flesh. He works through the flesh. It's very seldom that I'm in here worshiping Jesus, thanking him for the blood, that the enemy attacks me. As a matter of fact, I can't remember the last time. He'll try next week. He'll try Sunday now. Bring it on. Why? Because he knows when I'm agreeing with the Spirit, it's hard to mess with me. Because we're two touch and agree. Now, we've always used that to mean people, but it don't always mean people. What do you mean? It means when you touch and agree, there is a bond that takes place. So the question is, are you bonding with the flesh or are you bonding with the Spirit? Let me say that again. Which one are you connecting with? Which one are you touching? See, the problem is we can't just do church things. We got to do spiritual things. We can't just yield to our flesh all the time and expect everything to be all right when life is in the Spirit. The flesh profits nothing. 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 When you're at a crossroads and you got a decision to make and you say, I can either go this way or that way, your decision should be very easy. Which one gets me closer to Jesus and which one gets me farther away? And that decision should be made. And that's how you walk in peace. I'm saved by the Spirit. I'm still working on my mind and my faith, and my family, and my finances, and my temper, and the fact that sometimes just people get on your nerves and you want to shake them. And you want to say, quit being a whiny baby and grow up. But I can't preach that because you won't like me anymore. Some of y'all really got to quit being such whiny babies and grow up. We need meat and we're over here. Give me a bottle. Give me a bottle. Get past the bottle. It's time to do something for the kingdom of God. The Spirit is willing and we're over here with pacifier. Put that down and say, God, I agree. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I don't care what the devil says. I'll lay down the night and go to sleep with peace in my heart because I agree with the Spirit. If I die, so what? I mean, sudden death is sudden glory. I'll be okay. If I die tonight, I don't got to work tomorrow. That's a blessing. We got people running around scared to death of death. They're called hypochondriacs. Everything they get. Oh, I believe it's about over. It's about over. They're scared to death. Scared to death of death. Oh, death. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave. Where is that? We quote Psalms 23, but I want to ask you a question. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, are you really walking through there with no fear? I'm going to tell you how to get there. Agree with the Spirit. Agree with the Spirit. He wants to sanctify you wholly. So you know what happened? Can I read you another scripture? What time is it? Let me find this real quick. 3 John, 3 John. Oh, where's it at? 1 and 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy. Oh. You know what's awesome about your flesh? It responds to your soul. You don't believe me? Tracy, when you get nervous, what happens to your hands? Does anybody here get nervous and you get cold? When Tracy gets nervous, she gets cold. She's like,
she's getting ready to sing, and she goes, "Pray for me." And I'm like, "Lord, give her the heat of the Spirit. Fire, shut up in her bones and let it go to her hands, Lord." Ain't it crazy how your body responds to your soul? If you're nervous, some people will twitch, contort, shake. What is that? That's your body responding to your soul, your mind. Amen? Anybody want to share something with us that you do? What do you do when you're scared? Anybody? Sweat? Some people sweat. I know they do. You reach my microphone, they're getting ready to sing, and they give it back, and you're like, "Oh, Lord." Why is that? I'm going to tell you, because your body will respond. So here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fix the body, and the body is not where this begins. It doesn't begin in the body. It doesn't begin in the body. And it doesn't begin in the soul. Where it begins is in the spirit. So when we got peace, it's a fruit of the spirit. It's not a fruit of the flesh or a fruit of the body. So you can be in the most tranquil, peaceful place you've ever been in your life and still be in turmoil. Or you can be in the middle of the greatest storm of your life. But because the spirit abides in you, you know everything's going to be all right. And it doesn't matter though he slay my body, I still trust the spirit. Though it all is going wrong, I still trust the Spirit, so I know without a doubt everything's going to be all right. It ain't about a feeling. It's about a promise. Amen. Woo! That's
right. Come on, musicians.
Pocket was out. What are you going to do? Which way are you going to go? We're kind of fighting the same battle. So what do you do? Where do you go? I tell you what really messes you up is when you start looking with your natural eye a lot. I'd like to know what's going on right now. I'd really like to know what's going on right now, when really what I should be saying is, I know what happened 2,000 years ago. I know what happened 2,000 years ago. I don't need to know what's going on right now. I know what happened then. And because of what happened then is going to affect what's happening now. Hey, you know what, Sister Mona? I'm going to pray for Susan. I'm going to pray that you find her. I'm going to pray that she comes back. And I'm going to pray she finds Jesus and gives her heart to her. I've been praying for her already. We need to join together and pray and say, you know what, devil? Well, this ain't about my flesh. This is about the spirit. This is about a God that says, I got peace when you say I shouldn't have peace. When the whole world is falling apart, I can still sing a song. He ain't never done me nothing but good. Why can I do that? Because I've got the peace of God in the middle of the trial, right in the middle of the sea. The disciples hit a storm right in the middle. Can I tell you, it's just as far to turn back and go back as it is to go forward. You might as well keep moving forward because you got the one on the boat who is able to step out on the sea and say, peace, be still. And if he ain't going to calm the storm, he's going to calm you. And it's going to be all right. There are people at work that we can get. It's crazy. You can, and they do it to them, and it's sad. They're like, hey, let's start a rumor that they're going to lay a bunch of people off. That's not, it ain't nice. But you know what? They come to me and say, you hear they're going to lay a bunch of people off. I said, man, can I go? These other guys are like, is that real? Is that real? You're a preacher. You can't lie to me. Did you hear that? Well, I heard it just now when you heard it. I mean, I did just hear it. No, but I know how they do it. They'll say it, and then they'll say they heard it. Did you hear it? Is it real? Is it real? What are you worried about, man? Your creditors can't eat you. I mean, they can't. Man, people get rattled so easy. I know what you're sitting back there thinking, Kevin, I know exactly what you're thinking. Well, he switches jobs so much anyway, it don't even matter if they're laying off there. Keep your thoughts. Now, I seen your look on your face. I didn't like it. I know you. He's back there thinking judgmental thoughts at me.
Man, people get rattled. You know why? Because their confidence is in the economy. You know why people get so tore up about election? Because they think their answer's in the White House. Promise you this, I don't care who is elected next year. I don't care. God's will is still going to be done. Whoa! Let me say it again. I don't care who gets in the White House. I want Jesus in the church house. Because if we get him in the church house, it ain't going to matter. Amen. People getting rattled. People get tore up. We got to get more peace about us. Amen. Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know either. Y'all have heard this before. Let's say it again. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my tomorrow. So what does it matter? Give me G. We're going to sing, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." There's a Christian version. Don't y'all judge me. It goes like this. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. If I'm going to see him, Brother Eddie, I'm going to do something a lot more fun than worry. I know y'all looking at me funny, but man, we get tore up because we worry about our flesh. But what was that definition of peace again? To a Christian, it's the assurance of knowing that you're born again. You're saved through the Spirit. You're connected to that. Man, let God sanctify our soul. Sanctify me, God. Sanctify my soul. Sanctify me through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you're saved, slip your hand up. If you're saved, would you hold your hand up? If you need God to do more of a work of sanctification in you, would you keep your hand up? Right now, would you pray for yourself, God, right now? Right now, Lord, I'm praying for me. Praying for me, because this is true peace, Lord. When everything around me is going crazy and spinning, I've got this calm assurance in knowing that I'm in your hand. God, let me walk in peace. God, I got family that needs saved. God, if I look at it too long through my flesh, I get rattled. God, if I look at it through the promise of your word, I know you're able, because the promise is unto me, to my children, and to all that are far off. God, send revival, Lord. Send it in me. Send revival, Lord. Send it in me. God, let me walk in peace. Not as the world giveth. Not outside in, but inside out peace, Lord, that begins in your Spirit. Sanctify me wholly, O God of peace. God, I want to be saved by your life. Thank you for the death of your Son that reconciled me to you. God, do a work in me now. I don't want to stop there, Lord. God, I want to walk in your truth. Go ahead. As we sing this song, somebody needed a prayer cloth.